Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. Will Arlene Foster and the DUP back Boris Johnson's Brexit deal? The Prime Minister is trying hard even today to persuade them to do so. They've said they've got no intention. But is there a case? In The Spectator today, we say, come on, Arlene, it is time to actually back this deal, and because of all of the economic benefits it will bring to Northern Ireland. Kate Hoey, from County Antrim, now a Labour MP for London Vauxhall, is one of the prominent Brexiteers who made the case for leaving the EU. She now says the Northern Ireland aspect of this deal is awful. Eamon Butler, head of the free market Adam Smith Institute, disagrees. They both join me now. So, Kate, you campaigned a long time for Brexit, but do you find yourself unable to stomach the concessions made here in Northern Ireland?
Well, I think the first thing you have to say is that the Prime Minister has gone back on everything he said about Northern Ireland over the last year. He spoke at the DUP conference. He made it very clear there would never be a border down the Irish Sea. He, even in negotiations with Arlene in the last couple of weeks, he made it clear that the VAT issue, which was brought in right at the end, was absolutely not going to happen, and he was going to, you know, basically tell the EU where to go. And we've ended up now with a situation where, yes, economically, I'm sure other people will argue, you know, this is Northern Ireland having, could be said to have the best of both worlds economically. But in terms of the Good Friday Agreement, this is really a genuinely a coach and horses through the whole consent principle. And it's ending up with a customs situation where, in theory, Northern Ireland's staying in the customs union, but in practice, as all the legal interpretation we've just had one through from our EU scrutiny committee, which making it very clear that if the question is whether Northern Ireland can really be said to be in the same customs territory as the UK, if in fact it is subject to EU customs law, and we're going to have all of that for 4 years minimum, with then a possibility that it could be permanent.
So Eamon Butler, it sounds like a bit of a nightmare for Northern Ireland.
Oh no, I disagree entirely. I think that the DUP might not see it yet, but the deal is actually a very good deal for Northern Ireland, and indeed for unionism in general. If you had no deal with no cross-border trading arrangements and so on, that would be a disaster for both of those things. And I think that the DUP is not going to get a better deal. The negotiators in Brussels are fed up with the, as the British public are, about how long this whole pantomime's dragged on. Boris has amazingly persuaded them to give it one last shot, but they're smiling now, they're still saying, this is it, this is the end, we're not going to revisit this. So the question on Saturday is deal or no deal, and you certainly don't want that if you're in Northern Ireland. So, and as well as avoiding that downside, the deal gives a huge upside because it speeds up UK-EU trade negotiations. It gives far more scope to the UK to negotiate trade deals with the rest of the world. And it's a big world and it's a growing world. And the benefits of that global free trade will help all of us, particularly poorer parts of the United Kingdom, like Northern Ireland. So I think there's everything to gain from it.
Well, I mean, of course, I've campaigned to leave the European Union for a very, very long time, and I understand the benefits of us leaving. But what this deal now is actually England, Wales and Scotland leaving and Northern Ireland being left as usual, being forgotten about, being kind of sidelined expediently, because it allows the Prime Minister now to get his deal, to get people out on the get us out on the 31st of October. But it actually isn't in the long-term interests of the union. And I genuinely think that this is, the way it's affecting the Good Friday Agreement and the fact that I think people feel now in Northern Ireland, the decent, ordinary, pro-union majority, people who've never taken up arms, who've never threatened anybody, they are now seeing that they've been rewarded by a border down the Irish Sea, while the terrorists and the Irish government have got away with not having a border across the island of Ireland. And that, to me, is that's why the constitutional issue to me is actually more important than the economic.
Right. But Kate, let's look at the situation here. I mean, Northern Ireland will benefit from free trade deals, just like Scotland and England. This is the whole point of this deal. They'll benefit as much as anybody else. And now, even Brexiteers will admit that it will be a bit of a shame to lose frictionless access to the EU markets. You might say it's a price worth paying in return for the return of sovereignty. But the frictionless access will still be enjoyed by Northern Ireland. So, I mean, it will become a 5,000 square mile free port with a foot in both camps.
Well,
it's great.
If it was a completely free port for the whole of Northern Ireland, I think that would be something that a lot of people would look at, a genuine free port. This is getting, in theory, staying in the customs union, but in practice not. In practice, what we will see is every lorry that's coming from Great Britain to Northern Ireland having to be checked in the sense of saying, are they actually going on to take goods onto into the single market, into the Republic? The onus will be on the people who are in that lorry, and the onus will be to say that if you can't prove it, then we will say you're going on to into the EU. It is going to be a huge extra amount of money and hassle for ordinary small businesses. And this is going from one part of the United Kingdom to the other. How can any Conservative and Unionist Prime Minister actually live with that?
I think if Northern Ireland is separated, as you say, it's separated into what is actually a very enviable position, because you continue to trade freely with mainland Britain.
You're part of the
British, the UK customs union. But you've got to separate out the customs arrangements here from the regulatory arrangements. And you can export into Great Britain, you can export into the EU with no extra paperwork barriers and no tariff penalties. Traders will simply file customs declarations from their desks in their offices as they do at the moment.
And why could this all not have been done for that tiny amount of trade that comes from the Republic of Ireland into Northern Ireland and vice versa? You know very well that this could all have been sorted technically, and in the kind of things you're now telling businesses coming to Northern Ireland that are going to have to do that, could all have been done from the Republic of Ireland across to Northern Ireland. The Irish government did not want that because they could see that this was a very good way of getting a united economic Ireland. An economic United Ireland, and the EU went along with that. And so my basic principle in this is that we have allowed the bad guys basically to call the shots on this. Sorry to use that metaphor.
Right, but can I put this to you, Kate? That we had to make compromises here. Any deal had to involve
compromise. I don't agree, you see, because I think we've started off from a situation, as you know, Fraser, we should not have even been talking about a withdrawal agreement until we'd actually decided what kind of trading arrangements we were going to have. The free trade deal...
I agree with that entirely.
Yeah, the free trade arrangements that have been put forward by many, many people on the Brexit side from Parliament have been looked at by Boris and his people, smiled, waved, and then just ignored. And so we've ended up, I have a great amount of time for Boris. I understand where he's coming from, but I think he has raised people's expectations about what he was going to do. He sat in front of me and said, the withdrawal agreement is dead. The withdrawal agreement is back, more or less the same. A few slight changes that I welcome, obviously, the question in the political agreement changing that we're not going to have that really close relationship, and a few minor things. But otherwise, he has gone along his meeting with Varadkar and he just gave in.
Eamon Butler, can I ask you if you actually, you outline some theoretical economic advantages to be here. I mean, but Kate Hoey makes two points. One is that there will be a hassle factor. Sure, it's not a customs border, but
very,
it is a regulatory border, and that
side
will introduce friction, and that might have the effect of deterring trade. So from an economic point of view, if you're looking at this, would not these non-tariff barriers, if you want to call them this way, the extra hassle factor, not take away economically more than what Northern Ireland's new dual status is likely to deliver economically?
No, look, the mere hint that a deal might be in the offing caused the pound to surge, and concluding a deal is going to cause it to rise even further. Businesses have been like rabbits in the headlight because of all of the uncertainty. And freed from that uncertainty, they're going to start. Businesses throughout the UK, Northern Ireland as well as mainland Britain, could start planning ahead again, investing in production, developing new markets, hiring new workers. That's particularly important to less prosperous bits of the United Kingdom, like Northern Ireland. It's very good news for them. And meanwhile, of course, the euro area has continuing economic problems. So with the pound rising and the euro falling, the impact of any tariffs imposed from the continent is going to be comparatively minor and easily bearable. And I do think that, yes, the Freeports idea is a good proposal, and I'd like to see the whole country made into a free port. But at the very least, I think that we can use them to help the cross-border trade, particularly in those business communities that span the border. But that can only happen when we leave the EU. So here's a deal that says in a few years' time, after a transition period, we leave the EU. It seems like a no-brainer that we should grab it.
But do you accept that, I mean, obviously you're seeing it from an economic point of view, do you accept the fact that this is a real shift to the Belfast Agreement, and that actually now all options are going to be open, and this is going to throw up all sorts of new problems because they have put a complete, you know, using that expression, everybody uses coach and horses through the Good Friday Agreement in terms of the consent principle. It is just, before this, everybody said, the Irish government, we could never have majority rule. We cannot have it in Northern Ireland, all these nasty unionists. Now because there's a Remain kind of assembly and the Greens and the SDLP and so on are all, they know that on this issue, it is a Remain vote. So it's quite all right to accept majority rule when it's that way. And this is going to open up all sorts of future problems which are down the line, but no doubt the current Prime Minister will have long gone by then.
I mean, you're talking the perspective of an economist sitting here in London. Do you think that Kate has got the point about these cultural issues that are awoken yet? Because no amount of GDP can really make these tensions go away. And these are exactly the sensitivities that the unionists had, which, you know, when we look back to, I'm watching a BBC documentary on the Troubles right now, which, by the way, if anyone's listening, can hugely recommend. This secret history of the Troubles. And it just goes to show how things which in London didn't seem to be very important turned out to be hugely important. Might we be going back down that fateful road?
No, because I think that the increased prosperity makes it easier to deal with these problems. I mean, they're very real problems, but increased prosperity is the answer, not the problem, and we get that from the deal. When Southern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, joined the EU, it had a wave of prosperity, and for its own domestic policies as well, and that increase in the wealth of Southern Ireland actually made agreement on the island of Ireland much more easily. And I think that the increased confidence that comes from a prosperous Britain, and particularly with the less prosperous areas doing increasingly well, particularly well in an agreement situation, that confidence makes the union stronger politically. And of course, it makes the UK more able to negotiate future UK-EU relationships on its own terms. So I think it should be welcomed.
Well, the unemployment rate, of course, in Northern Ireland has never been as low as it is. And the recent acquisition of Wrightbus by Bamfords, the saving of Harland and Wolffs. I mean, it's not as bad in Northern Ireland as some people in London seem to think.
It's still comparatively poor compared to the rest of the UK.
Well,
yes.
Certainly to London, but then everything is. But I just
UK in general.
Concerned about, just for the other example of VAT, you know, VAT rate in the Republic of Ireland is much higher than in Northern Ireland. Who is going to make these decisions about how high these things are? We, Northern Ireland, are not going to have really any say in it because it's ultimately going to be the EU making the decisions.
Can I put a final question to you, Kate? How are you going to vote for the Brexit deal tomorrow?
I haven't made up, not saying publicly to any, I will make my, if the Speaker calls me, which he tends to try and ignore me, but if he calls me, I will be making my views known. But I think it's going to be a very close vote.
It sounds like you're pretty torn, Kate. You campaigned very hard for Brexit. You've now got a Brexit deal. There were always going to be compromises, and let's face it,
yeah,
those compromises were always going to involve Northern Ireland.
Yeah, they didn't need to. They didn't need to. That is the reality. This is a typical kind of. And members of Parliament on the whole, politicians, the establishment, do not understand Northern Ireland, and most people in the Foreign Office would love to get rid of us.
So, Eamon Butler, do you think Arlene Foster will follow your advice and vote for the deal tomorrow?
I can't guess her mind, but I think that she should. Any economist will tell you that bygones are bygones, and Theresa May, yes, negotiated a deal in a a poor way, and actually there's nothing we can do about that, but we've actually pulled the thing out of the fire, I think. And now the choice is deal or no deal for Northern Ireland.
I think it's very
Ireland
unlikely that DUP will be changing their minds, no matter how
very
well
bad
he
deal.
Puts the argument for
Kay Toohey and Eamon Butler, thank you very much indeed. You can subscribe to this podcast, Coffee House Shots, on the iTunes store. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Cindy Yu, our producer.